Shalom, Mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word, means family. And we're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpacha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. The Muslim person that God himself has had cross your path is not an accident. God wants you to demonstrate his kingdom through signs and wonders and love that Muslim person to Jesus. We have a short window of opportunity to reach Jews and Muslims to form the one new man, which will release the greatest Gentile revival in history. And that's why God wants you equipped in signs and wonders so that you can reach Jews and Arabs. And, I mean, the world can't figure out what to do with us. I have a former Muslim on the telephone. Her name is Kalita Wukowitz. And believe it or not, she was taught as a Muslim to hate the Jew. And, Kalita, you are married to a Jewish man today.
I know. Isn't that miracle? That's a miracle by itself right there. I'm Palestinian who is married to a Jew who is in love with Yeshua and in love with the Jewish people.
Well, for those that didn't hear yesterday's broadcast, Kalita had such a miserable life. She should have never survived. She was born in Bethlehem, a Palestinian Arab, 11 days old. Her mother dies. She ends up in a Jewish orphanage. She lived as a Jew. When she's 9, the orphanage is bombed. She just happened to step outside for some water. Only 2 girls survive. Everyone else is killed. She's sold to Bedouins, lives as a slave, sold from Bedouin to Bedouin, ends up in another orphanage, they find her father, who's still alive. He doesn't want her. He denies her. So he marries her off at 15. She's physically abused. Another forced marriage, and she's physically abused. The guy wanted to kill her. She hears a voice to leave the darkness. She's homeless with her 3 children, doesn't even speak English. She was in the United States at the time. A Christian takes her in, loves her, witnesses to her. You know, if that Christian hadn't taken you in, Kalita, I don't see how you would have survived in that circumstance.
I agree with you. And a matter of fact, as we're speaking on the phone right now, I am sitting in the kitchen of that woman's house, and I call her mother because she has been nothing but a blessing to me and a mother in the faith. She's absolutely amazing. And God supernaturally put us together. Our relationship is so strong and one core for Yeshua, and I just love her. I will live the rest of my life thanking God for her boldness, stepping in and believing God for me. She believed God for a broken, hurting Muslim girl, and that what changed my life. That is the power of love.
Okay, so you're in the kitchen. It's a year and a half later, and you see this love, but you still are so in love with Islam, and you say, God, I want to know the truth. Show me. And God shows up. Light came into that room, and then you were taken to heaven. Explain.
In that experience, I found myself standing before the throne of God. The Bible says that Jesus is the Word of God. And as you look on Jesus' face, as I was looking on Jesus' face and having become a real, every tribe, every tongue, every language is spoken there. Worship is in heaven. Jesus is King sitting on the throne, and he is an authority and power. I just knew that is my Savior. I didn't need anyone to explain it to me. It was self-explained. It just made sense, and it came to my spirit. That light, he is the light of the world. That light consumed me with power, and it's like I read all the books and I went to all the school and I learned all the things I need to learn about Messiah. He really became real to me. It's no longer that man that people told me about. It became like Hagar had her experience of saying, I see the God who sees me. I see the God who sees me. He saw me all of those years of struggle and hurt and pain and agony, and he came to rescue me. My king came to rescue his slave girl, and it just made sense. Heaven is so real. Heaven is more real than earth, and people need to know that. They need to know that our God is a supernatural God, and his power is manifested every single day as we open ourselves in the spirit realm. He will make himself real. So when I reached for that supernatural power, God did not hold it back from me. He poured it out on me, and it changed my life for
now,
me.
Now, I know you're going to share more details of what you saw in heaven, absolutely phenomenal, on our special CD called East Meets West. But tell me one thing you observed in heaven that we would be interested in right now.
I think the most thing that stood out for me in heaven, it was worship. Heaven adores Yeshua. Heaven adores Jesus. The angels worship Jesus. The being worship Jesus. They throw crown at his feet. They love him. They adore him. Everything in heaven moves, it breathes, and speaks and does worship and adore Jesus. And that really never left me from day one. When I saw that, I was consumed with the power of worship, and the spirit of God there is so strong. Revelation is so strong. There is no way that you could make it to heaven and get out confused or lost or not knowing who Yeshua is. The job of the Holy Spirit is to reveal him and make him real.
Now, when you were forced to leave heaven, Jesus said something to you. What did he say?
He did tell me he would never leave me. He would never forsake me. He said he is going back to get me back. He is coming the second time.
Now, Kalita, Yes. You had a vision of hell.
Yes.
Tell me what you saw.
In hell, what I saw is that the Lord came to me. Jesus came to me and woke me up in my sleep and took me in this vision. And when he came in the beginning to me, I didn't want to go because I knew in my spirit that the Lord doesn't take us to hell. But he wanted to show me something in there, and I trusted him, and I knew I could go with him anywhere. It doesn't matter where he asked me to go, I will go with him. So I went in the spirit. I went with the Lord, and I saw the bit of hell. And what stood out to me is how miserable those people are. They were gnashing their teeth. They were like melting and suffering, but they were coming right back for more agony, for more pain. And no one, they were screaming and yelling, and no one could save them. No one could get them out of that.
Now, the Lord was with you. What was going on with him when you saw all that suffering and torment?
The Lord's face was very sad. The Lord was crying. The Lord had sobbing tears coming down his face and just really broken over those people. And very, very great sadness was on him. And his heart was broken. He did not want, what I sense is, he did not want those people to be there. He did not want them to be there. And then I saw across the way from us a woman who is wrapped in a honorary clothes, and she's kneeling and she's worshiping, and she also is crying and interceding with God's heart, with God's sadness. And when I asked the Lord who is that person is, he said that is Hagar, and that she has been interceding for Muslim, from the beginning of time. And
so the people that you, the division of hell you saw, there were a lot of Muslims there.
Right. That's what it stood out to me. It was like no one else there, like no other nation was there. But that doesn't mean that no other nation going to go to hell. That was actually a sign for my personal, you know,
call. And Hagar was really symbolic of interceding. She was interceding for the Muslim people. It was a symbolic thing of your call. What is your call? What did he show you?
What he showed me is as I fast and as I believe and as I seek him and pray and over the Muslim life in a supernatural way in worship, is speaking in tongue in power over them, he will come and make himself real and those people will be saved. Any Muslim that you would pray for with all of your heart, with all of your might, with all of your spirit, believing God is love for that person, it will come to pass. He promised me that they will be saved and they will be taken out of the hell of fire.
And God is showing you that there is a coming together of Jews and Muslims in Jesus. It's a perfect representative of what Paul refers to as the one new man. Tell me about that briefly.
That is an awesome vision on God's heart. That's God's heartbeat for today, as we come in unity and realize, as a former Muslim, I'm realizing the honor and the love that God has for the Jewish people. And he first came to the Jewish, and he really wants us, Jewish and Gentile, to become one in him.
Whoops, we're out of time. But Mishpocha, I want you to get this brand new book, 10 Amazing Muslims Touched by God. Read it yourself. You will never be the same. It'll totally shake you, your very core. That's what you need right now. Jesus is coming back soon. And then the two CDs, East Meets West, the secrets that Kalita and these other former Muslims have learned about the invisible world. It's literally the anointing's going to jump on you. We're making the two CDs and the book available for a gift of $40. To hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 704-943-6500. That's 704-943-6500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation to Sid Roth. That's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.